Christians, and I was lucky enough to go, and I went along, but unfortunately, due to family commitments, I couldn't go to the afternoon half, which also sounded as interesting as the first half. And this is a survey that was done. Get these done. By a partnership between Alpha, the Evangelical Alliance, Hope Together, etc., to go to a reputable company and make sure that they could do a big survey for people's thinking and beliefs about Christians and Christianity and Jesus. So this is the bit that I've been looking forward to. So we're going to look a little bit at some of the answers in that report. And I'm going to expect you guys to do some writing. Now, in school, we call this a low-stakes quiz. So that means you get a bit of paper, you have a go at some answers. No one, you mark your own work. It's not written down anywhere. It's just kind of nice, low-stakes, not very high-pressure way of getting some information across. Okay? So my able assistants, Sue and Millie, we'll be giving out paper and pen, and you all have to take part. You all have to have a go. So, Leona, make sure Bob is writing down some answers, okay? It's not where you have to write answers off the top of your head. The answers are going to be multiple choice, so the answer will be there somewhere, okay? Good morning, Sam, and Raymond, and Roland, and Robert, is that right? Yeah. Is that all? Good, good, good. You've come just in time for the quiz. So guys, we're going to see how much your parents know. So write down questions numbered 1 to 5. That's all you need to do at the moment. So remember, we're not writing your name down. It's nothing like that. It's just 5 questions for us to think about. And there are no maths ones, although all the answers are numbers. Oh. Okay, so here we go. So, question number 1 was, what is the state of faith in the UK? So, when asked, what percentage of UK adults identified themselves as Christian? Is it A, 70%, B, 12%, C, 35%, D, 5%, or E, 48%? So you guys can write down either the percentage or the letter. Okay? Doesn't matter which one. And you'll get the answers a little bit later on. John?
Is it possible to repeat those words slower? Because I can't pick them out on the screen myself.
This one's the first question, so it's just going to stay up there for a while.
Those options.
Oh, the options. Yeah, the options are staying there for a while.
They can't speak.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Shall I read them out for you? Okay, so when asked what percentage of UK adults identified themselves as Christian, is it A, 70%, B, 12%, C, 35%, D, 5%, or E, 48%? So in a normal class, I would be wandering around to make sure everyone's at least writing something down. You have to take part. So it's not marked, but you have to take part. Is that okay, John?
That's
Good. Okay, so there's only five questions. Okay, so question two. How many people are practicing Christians? So by practicing, we mean part of a church community, worshipping at least monthly, plus reading the Bible and praying at least weekly. That's how they defined practicing Christians. So you come to church at least once a month, and you read the Bible, and you pray at least weekly. The answers for that are A, 28%, B, 1%, C, 5%, D, 6%, E, 10%. Okay, Millie, are you having a go writing these down? Daddy's going to check. You're the one. Daddy is definitely going to check. She's copying you. You've got to have your own go, Millie. Is that okay, John? You made your answer? Okay, here we go. Question three. What do people think about Jesus? What percentage of the UK population believe that Jesus is God in human form? So what percentage of the UK population believe that Jesus is God in human form? A, 5%, B, 20%, C, 10%, D, 60%, and E, 30%. So what do you think? And I am banking on the fact that none of you will have read this report. Otherwise, you're easily going to get the answers to these. So what do people think about Jesus? Specifically, do they believe that Jesus is God in human form? You're right, Sean? You haven't put F, have you? You're okay?
Why?
Why? What do you mean, why? Okay, good. I was thinking of why the word there, not the letter. You caught me out there. Well done. Dear, dear. Fortunately, I don't get this in lessons. Okay, number four. So this is a tricky one. There are no answers for you. You have to write down one or more words. So write down the words of one or more traits or attributes you would use to describe Jesus. And when we look at some of the answers that people gave in the report, I'm sure there'll be some that might surprise you. So, you're asked about Jesus. You're writing down some attributes, some traits that would be used to describe him. What would those things be? This is for you to write down one or any number of words. Okay, everyone happy to move on to the last question? So this concerns the resurrection of Jesus. What percentage of the UK population believe in the resurrection of Jesus to life, word for word, as described in the Bible? So they believe that Jesus was resurrected to life exactly as it says in the Bible, word for word. A, 12%, B, 16%, C, 45%, D, 36%, and E, 54%. Right, so we're all okay. We're going to mark them. And we're going to mark them question by question and have a little bit of thinking about each question after we've marked them. So here are the answers. So number one, what is the state of faith in the UK? How many people, or what percentage, identify themselves as Christian? So that will be E. 48% of people who are asked will identify themselves as Christian. And there you can see the answer in the report. We've got Christians at 48%. So how does this apply to us? I think this applies to us with that group of people. A quarter of people you meet will have no faith. They've not identified with any faith at all. And so that is actually quite a lot of people out there that you might meet who you may be able to talk to and engage with about Christianity and Jesus. Acts 2, verse 21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's good for us because we're all here calling on the name of the Lord. But those 26% of people probably haven't yet. So we need to think about how we conduct ourselves in our everyday life that can appeal to a quarter of people that we meet. Question two, how many people are practicing Christians? So that's coming to church monthly, reading the Bible and praying at least weekly. And the correct answer is 6%. Very low. That's quite low. Especially when you compare it to the people who are identifying themselves as Christians. So here we go. These are the answers. Practicing Christians, non-practicing, and non-Christians. There we go. And again, we look at that large number of people who say, I am a Christian, but they are not practicing Christians under the definition that was given, which is coming to church once a month and praying and reading the Bible weekly. So when I looked through and did a little bit of research, I settled on Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So when I started to think about what that might mean, for those 6% of people, they are having a monthly fellowship, at least. A monthly fellowship, like we are now. They're reading God's word and God's guidance in the Bible. So they are trusting in the Lord. They are not leaning on their own understanding. The non-practicing Christians might need a little bit more guidance. So there's, again, a large pool of people who believe in God, but perhaps the framework that they have for their lives is a little bit different to what it says in the Bible, is a little bit different to God's teaching. And again, that's something we need to think about as Christians, because we are all the practicing Christians. We're the 6%. So we need to think there are lots of people, again, that you meet who are believing and identifying as Christians, but they haven't quite maybe got the same framework that you have. And I think the framework is hard. You have to read the Bible regularly. You have to come regularly. It's a big commitment to keep that framework fresh, to keep it going. Trust in the Lord, Iris, absolutely. So, what do people think about Jesus? What percentage of the UK population believe that Jesus is God in human form? Anyone want to stick their neck out and say what they went for? We've got a D. We've got a D. We've got a D. Okay, we've got a D. Yep. Now you must be Roland or Robert or Raymond. You are. I've terrible with names. You went. What's your name? Sorry.
Robert.
What did you go? Same as mine. E. So we've got an E. We've got an E. Here we go. What do people think about Jesus? 20% of people believe that Jesus is God in human form. Ruth, does that surprise you? Do you think that should be higher or lower?
I thought it was slightly higher.
Slightly higher. Okay. Okay. So here we go. These are the answers that people said across our country in that report. So God in human form, who lived among people in the first century, there's the 20%. A normal human being, a prophet or a spiritual leader, not God. Other and don't know. So the don't knows are quite a good, interesting group. They're 20%. That's almost the same number of people who believe that God is in human form, in the person of Jesus. But the one I'm going to focus on is prophet or spiritual leader, not God. So they're not dismissing Jesus out of sight. They're saying Jesus is a prophet or a spiritual leader, but not God. That's quite a few steps towards our position. They're nearly where we are, but they're not quite. And that's a third of people that you might meet have that view. So for this one, I read through Mark 11:27-33. They arrived in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you authority to do this?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? Tell me." They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin," they feared the people, for everyone held that John was really a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." So Jesus is like a prophet in lots of ways, but he's something a lot more. He's talking with real authority. And I like to think of this as one of the many examples where the elders and the Pharisees, they're trying to trip Jesus up. They're laying traps. But Jesus, I would say, being the Son of God, is able to easily sidestep all of those traps. There's great wisdom in Jesus' teaching. You can't pin him down on and trap him on anything. He sidesteps nimbly. We think about a spiritual person, and Jesus' teaching, again, very wise, is a good guidance, a good framework for us Christians to live under. But also, we need to think about Jesus as a miracle worker. The stories in the Bible, the testimony of the Gospels, Jesus does innumerable miracles, and they would all point to someone greater than a prophet, someone who is God in human form. Question 4. So there's no right answer for that one. I think if you remember when I did a little bit of leading quite a while ago, I asked about the nature of God. How would you describe God? How would you describe Jesus? And that question came from this question. And I was quite pleased that I said forgiveness. I would identify with Jesus, with God, forgiveness, which is none of those answers up there. I was quite pleased about that. I think there's a game show called Pointless, and you're supposed to get the person who's got the lowest score. That's me. I got the lowest score. I'm really pleased about that. So look at some of the words that we've got there. Yes, I can. Okay, I didn't think it would be difficult to see. So we've got moral. So this is the words people used to describe Jesus. So moral was used 27% of times. Loving, 37%. Powerful, 25%. Peaceful, 39%. Spiritual, 43%. Role model, 27%. Irrelevant, 5%. I think that's quite a good one. Not many people think Jesus is irrelevant. And I think when you're, again, we go through our lives, one in 20 people you meet is going to think Jesus is irrelevant. That means the other 19 think he has relevance. Wise, 37%. Selfish, 2%. A leader, 38%. That was a good one. I hadn't thought of that, I have to say, when I looked at this for the first time. A leader. Jesus is a leader. Authentic, 13%. Judgmental, 5%. Weak, 1%. Homophobic, 3%. Boring, 3%. Don't know, 11%. None of the above, that's me, 8%. So the top answers, spiritual, 43%. Peaceful, 39%. Being a leader, 38%. Wise, bringing wisdom, that wise teaching. A lot of people believe in the wisdom of Jesus, that Jesus was a wise person, 37%. And loving, 37%. So my question to all of us is, if those are the attributes people are identifying in Jesus, those are the attributes we need to be showing in our everyday lives as much as we can. Weak, 1%. Jesus was not a weak person, and people don't think of Jesus like that. He was not selfish, had time for everyone. Homophobic, 3%, and boring, 3%. So the one I'm focusing on is boring, 3%. Very, very few people think Jesus was boring. He was always involved in what was going on with teaching and the miracles and large crowds. Large crowds follow him for a reason. And perhaps if you're talking to someone about the life of Jesus, this, I think, is one of the most important miracles. The wedding at Cana. Jesus turns water into wine. It's actually one of the first miracles that John talks about in the Gospel of John. So Jesus goes to a party. It's a wedding. It's really important, but the wine is running out. So Jesus uses his authority as God. He creates a miracle. He creates more wine to keep the party going. That is definitely not the actions of a boring person. How many teenagers would you say to them, would you like to take to a party someone who can turn water into wine? How many of them are going to say, oh, yes, yes, please? So that's something we need to speak about, something we need to think about. But does it mean that throughout the gospel, are there any other instances where Jesus drinks to excess? No. Always calm and controlled and in charge of the situation. But boring, definitely not. The resurrection. So what percentage of the UK population believe in the resurrection of Jesus back to life, word for word? Word for word. Anyone like to volunteer an answer? Okay, thank you, Sean. 36%, got D. Anything else? 16% from Grace, okay. There. Oh, sorry, from Ruth. Ruth, oh, they're arguing who copied who. There we go. You got it. Okay, Leonie, your mum's happy she's got one right. She's there, she's got it. Ruth got it, okay. Well done, Ruth. So in the report, the resurrection of Jesus, 16% of people believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead happened word to word. But look at the one below that. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But the story in the Bible contains some content which should not be taken literally. Now, if you take those two percentages together, you've got 45% of people. Just under half the people you meet believe Jesus was resurrected from death to life. Just under half. So almost every second person you meet in the street, when you get on the bus, half the bus will think that Jesus was resurrected. I was really surprised when I saw that. And this is a reputable sample. There's a rep from a reputable company. And the lady who did the presentation for this and for the organisation who commissioned the report said that when it came out, there were lots of church leaders who said, no, this can't be right. This is not true. We need to do a bigger sample. And so she said to them, well, this is a representative sample. They've worked hard to make sure this is as accurate as we can make it, that this is what people think. No, we need to do another sample. We need to ask more people because obviously the more we ask, the better. So, of course, they went through a whole another survey, and unsurprisingly, they got exactly the same results. So half the people you know believe that Jesus was resurrected and came back to life. I think that's just amazing. And again, we've got a small group of people who don't know. They are open to persuasion. They are open to us talking about the resurrection of Jesus, talking about Jesus as the Son of God, talking about the attributes that Jesus had that we try to emulate, we try to copy in our lives. Matthew 28:16-20 is the Great Commission, so it comes at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." I do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. 41%. That's quite a high percentage. It's quite a hard thing to understand, to believe that someone truly came back to life. And yet, in this passage in Matthew, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So even right at the end, we're told that some of the disciples doubted the resurrection, even with Jesus right in front of them. And that's quite a tricky thing to think about. How does Jesus respond to that doubt? He knows what's in all their hearts. He gives them a great commission. He puts even into the hearts of the doubters a great commission, a great job. I want you to go to all the four corners of the earth. I want you to start making disciples of all nations. So he responds to some of those doubts by giving great trust into those disciples. And very quickly, following the death of Jesus, the leader, so the whole group is leaderless. But we know from the Acts of the Apostles that very quickly the church spreads widely across the world as it was at that time.
Thomas.
There were many doubters. It's a great question. Great question, Iris. Very tricky to think about some of these things. They are weighty, weighty issues. But doubters, people will doubt, and things will happen in your life that will make you doubt. Jesus responded to that by giving great trust into those people. I left the time for open prayer at the end. And again, I would encourage